Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Happy Friday. We have a special guest today that I'm kind of excited about because I really have reason to appreciate what he is trying to do. I've mentioned him a couple times this week. His organization is called the Moment of Silence, and it's all about getting very young children in particular to sit still and be quiet for a minute. And when they do this, he has them write letters, and he sent me some of these things, and they're really sweet and cute. And a lot of them make wishes. The silence gets them thinking about, I guess, what they really think about all the time without paying attention to it, which is wishes that they make. I loved it. And I have mentioned on the show a couple times that I appreciate silence. I never knew its worth until only a few years ago. Not that I didn't learn at a much earlier age to meditate and to be quiet and to, like, get into yourself and kind of escape the rat race of the outside world, because I did that in my 20s. And I've shared that with all of you. But this, I think, is so cool because I, as you all know, AJ, who for a long time was my sidekick. He no longer lives with me, but he would say to me, "Graham, I just can't concentrate. It's too noisy in school." And I thought, God, if he feels that way, because he was very talkative, very noisy, liked to be rambunctious and everything, if he realized that, how many other kids were struggling with all the noise? But of course, they get caught up in it and they're a part of it. But that doesn't mean that they don't realize that they'd like it to be quiet. So I have great respect for what Abraham has designed. And first I'm going to bring in Shelley so she can help me welcome Abraham. And then we're going to bring him in. If anybody has an opportunity this morning and they'd like to ask Abraham a question, you are more than welcome to call the show. 347-989-0352. We'd love to hear from you. Shell, I'm gonna bring Abraham in so that we can welcome him together. How are you this morning?
I'm doing real good. And you, sweetie?
I'm good. I'm excited about having him on the show. We spoke a couple times now, and he's got great energy, and he's making a difference. And, of course, every difference that is made leads us to a better place. So let's bring him in and we'll welcome him together.
Excellent.
Good morning, Abraham. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good morning, Abraham.
You.
Very
thank
nice
you.
To meet you.
Good morning. Yes.
Abraham, this is Shelley. Shelley is my my co-anchor and my friend of almost 15 years. So we're very close. We don't always agree about everything, which makes the show a little bit more interesting. But we have great respect for each other's points of view, you know. So please, I can bring into this what you sent to me yesterday, and that will give us kind of a little bit of an understanding, and then we'll talk. this is a free program that Abraham has introduced in the public schools across the country, and he has solid evidence that it's working from over 600 letters that children have written themselves, which I think is wonderful. Some of the comments have been that it calms them, increases focus, and makes them happy. The way this works is an announcement is made daily over the loudspeaker that the school will have a minute of silence. Parents are notified to please discuss with their child what to think about during this time. We have a group of principals and psychologists who would like to meet with the mayor to see if this could be implemented here. Over 15 states have this mandated. In addition to the great educational benefits, we have significant indications that whoever takes on this program profits economically. Councilman Lou Fidler of the previous administration introduced this as a bill in the City Council, and it has been carried forth by councilmen in his administration. Now, where is that? Are you talking about Jersey? Where are you talking about?
Oh, I'm talking about New York. I wanted to qualify that. Yeah. In New York, this is going on right now.
I see.
Yes.
So it's wonderful. And real quick, I wanna say how the moment of silence made me feel. For example, it makes me feel good. Second, it makes me feel proud of myself. It made me feel like I'm somebody. Now, that's just one of the letters that he sent to me so that I could read them. I love it. I'm quiet for my dad and my mom. I miss my dad so much. I wish he would come back. See, these are things that get in a little kid's head, and they're not very often given the opportunity to take them back out again. And I just think this is awesome. Really, really a beautiful, beautiful idea. So fill us in some more. When did you decide this was going to be beneficial, Abraham?
Oh, it must have been about 13 years ago. I was stirred by someone speaking about this. Actually, Moment of Silence has been around since the mid-70s. The state of Virginia, I believe, was the first state to mandate it. But what I want to get into, first of all, I want to just tell the audience that everyone out there is a potential doer and can be a leader and an innovator by trying to implement this program in the schools where they live. And so this is just not a discussion show. This is an action put into effect program where everyone out there can feel proud of himself. I'm talking about the audience, in that each one has the ability and we have the materials to convince principals and educational personnel to implement this wonderful free program in their school. It doesn't cost a single penny. This is an all-win situation. The child wins because of the obvious benefits of relaxation, increased focusing, happiness, and also increased bonding with parents, because we're making the parent the chief influencer of the child. That's what the parent should be. The upbringing of a child can best be done by the parent, not by an outside, not related a person. However, of course, there are situations where the parent is not around physically or the parent is just not able to do it. So in that case, someone else has to act as the influencer, the teacher or the principal or someone, a significant other, can act as the parent. What I want to just go over again, the mechanics of this is so simple. Every day in the morning, preferably before the school day starts, an announcement is made over the loudspeaker that the school will be having a moment of silence, as was stated. And then after this minute is over, nothing else has to be done. The school day goes on as usual. Then we notify the parents to please discuss with their child what they should think about. Now, being that the parent loves the child the most, so in that case, the parent will communicate to the child the best thoughts, the deepest thoughts, and the innermost feelings that parent has for the child. And we have in our brochure, which is on the website, 7 suggestions about what the parent could discuss with the child. I just want to go over them briefly. One is respect for human life.
Wow.
Two, respect for all living creatures. 3, the importance of family values. 4, respect for the property of others. 5, upholding the law. 6, showing kindness in speech and deed. And 7, there is something within me that is bigger than me. Each one of these is a whole topic in itself and can be developed by the parent in so many ways. And this, the whole point of this is, you know, we see today these big problems in the schools with the youth. And the reason that seems to be the cause of these problems is that the insufficient upbringing of the parent, proper parenting to the child. So then the child is not brought up with the proper upbringing, with the proper morality, and he picks up all kinds of ideas from all over the place, and this is how he grows up. And all these major problems, suicide, depression, gangs, all these problems can be averted by instituting this in every public school, especially in the elementary schools. Even in the preschools, we have preschools now that are doing this. The earlier the better. And this becomes a life skill. When this child grows up, he's going to have this for his whole life. And a lot of schools are trying to meet this challenge by bringing in dynamic speakers and other outside forces. But what happens when this dynamic speaker, who I'm not saying they're good, these dynamic speakers are excellent speakers. That's why they bring them in and they pay them good money. But what happens when they leave? The child has heard the speech, but doesn't have a lasting exercise, a lasting activity to put this into implementation. So this is the purpose of this daily practice of the moment of silence, and which is during this minute the child will think about what he discussed with the parent or things that the child has on their minds. A lot of the children are writing letters that it gives them a chance to get the stress out before the day starts. You know, a lot of us, even mm-hmm. adults, start the mm-hmm. day off from the night before with stress left over. So the simple quietness is like a pill, so to speak, a psychological pill. We have even studies about the psychological and emotional benefits of meditation. Even Harvard University has put out an official report now about the benefits of meditation. And this gives a child a chance to start the day off in as good as possible and to be able to be a listener to the teacher who now has a calm down class who she can teach. So the teacher benefits tremendously from this. And now I'll get back to this in a few minutes, but I just wanted to mention, as the host mentioned before, the economic benefits to this. Believe it or not, we have found a very, very unique correlation between states that have mandated moment of silence and the economic prosperity of the state. What I'm referring to is a survey done by Forbes magazine in the July 2012 issue, I have it here, of the 25 most prosperous cities in the country. And of the 25 most prosperous cities in the country, we have found statistically significant correlations between the states that do moment of silence and their economic prosperity. And what I mean is, it was found that 64% of the states that have moment of silence are in the top 25 cities in economic prosperity. In addition to that, this year, Forbes magazine ran a survey of the most prosperous city in the country, and that is Durham, North Carolina, the most prosperous city. And North mm-hmm. Carolina is one of the states that have mandated moment of silence. In fact, they have more than one city in the top 25, and so does Texas. Texas is the most prosperous state in the country. they have two or three cities on the top 25. So we see here this is not by accident. Of course, correlation doesn't mean direct cause and effect, but correlation could mean there is a strong relationship. It does mean relationship between this practice of moment of silence and the economic prosperity of the state. But
wow,
that's not even the main job of moment of silence. The main job of moment of silence is we have to realize that the future of the country is these children. And how these children grow up is going to determine what's going to be in this country. We want the children to grow up in the best way possible. Therefore, we have to figure out all kinds of ways and means to bring them up in the most the best way. So if the parent, for whatever reason, I'm sure there are good reasons, cannot or does not want to influence the child, so then the school must take over the job. And this is, it's practically an obligation of the school, because who else is going to get to the child? The child spends 6, 7, 8 hours in the school. Sometimes they go to after school even. And the child is surrounded by in this environment. And if he starts the day off in this with this silent meditation, it has an effect the whole day on the child. In fact, we have interviews. We wanted to know, does moment of silence only have an effect in the morning and then that's it, or maybe it has an effect the rest of the day? Well, believe it or not, we interviewed 6 or 7 kids after an assembly we held in the school. Parenthetically, the assembly is held to award every child that writes a letter with a nice certificate and a prize. This follows the letter writing. And what happens at the assembly is each child comes up, their name is announced, and they're presented for their letter that they wrote, a beautiful certificate with their name on it, and a nice prize. And a lot of the children make spontaneous speeches from the stage where they say how much they like the moment of silence and how much they want to continue in the school. So it's a wonderful get-together. The kids talk about it for months later. But what I wanted to get to one of the letters I wanted to mention, the child expresses the powerful effect of this, that not only is his class quiet, but the whole entire school is quiet for a minute. It's a very powerful effect. To summarize, that's what I wanted to say. And there's a lot more to say, but for right now, I'll stop. And if there's any questions or comments, I'll be very happy to answer them.
Okay. How do you feel, Shelley?
Well, I mean, I just love the entire program. I'm very impressed with the entire philosophy behind this because I can see so many benefits. I have one comment and one question. I'll ask you the question first. What is the website where those 7 questions are listed?
Oh, those 7 points are in a brochure on the website. The website is momentofsilence.info.
Momentofsilence.info.
And the brochure that's listed has those 7 points.
Okay. And one of the things that what inspired me about that is that I had done a lot of research on the ancient Essenes, and they used to do several daily practices where they would contemplate their role in connection to themselves, to their family, to their communities, reaching out 7 levels from themselves, basically. And in contemplating these, it was actually 21 points throughout a day because they had morning communions, midday communions, that kind of thing. And what happened is because they were constantly readdressing their interactions with their own thought processes, with their physical health, which how they interacted with their communities, they were always coming back to this, like, empirical self-awareness in how they conducted themselves and how they thought and how they perceived people and how they were perceived by people. And it was such a healthy practice. They were very, you know, very moralistic, but very happy people and things like that. And this reminds me a lot of practices because it gets children thinking about bigger issues, and a child is actually able to think of bigger issues, but a lot of times the adults don't bring them there. And I like these seven points because it helps a child to focus outside of themselves and to put things in better perspective by having a more worldly view on things. So I was very impressed with that.
I am in total agreement with all of that as well. And I think I knew Shelley would be able to find something that kind of went along with her Essene ministry because she still follows that, and she's taught me a lot about it. I want to say that for me, anything that you do with young people, they you include them in, make them a real physical part of, is so good for their growth, their understanding of what's going on in the world. And, of course, Shelley and I on this show continually talk about morals and morality. And for some reason, we are kind of shocked to realize that a lot of your younger parents, well, even older parents for that matter, don't even discuss morality. They just discuss what you can do and what you can't do. You're allowed to do this, but you're not allowed to do that. And you're allowed to do this, but you're not allowed to do that. Instead of having a discussion with a child and say, that's because, you know, even if you don't use the word morality, that's not nice. How about those words? That's not nice. Do you want me to do that to you? No. Well, then why would you do that to somebody else? So I love this, love this. And I also, I went through a lot of the notes in the letter and it tickles me about what they talked about, you know, like the one child saying, you know, I miss my daddy, and this is the world we live in, you know. What you just said, a lot of times there are no parents per se. There's adults. There's people running the show, but there's no bond going on there. And this helps a child bond with the most important person in their life, which is themselves. And I love it. I really see the worth completely. Let me ask you something. You mentioned, well, you said, first of all, it's free, which is will get everybody's attention. Secondly, it does help with the focus, the happiness. I think inclusion, too, and power. I think those are I think those are words that a child may not know, but they will know the emotion of being included. They will know the worth of feeling like they're in charge of something. I think those are good for them. I also love the parental bonding because a lot of times we're just, you know, when we become grown-ups, we're just rule setters. You can't do this, or don't do that, or no, don't do that again. You know, and we feel caught up in that sometimes, but we can't because we feel like it's our job, our responsibility. I have great grandchildren, and one of them is he'll be one in October. His year of life has been tumultuous. He was born with club feet. He was born with holes in his heart. At 5 months, they moved here from Missouri, his mom and his his three other siblings and his dad. And we met him for the first time when he was 5 months old. He was only here in Florida for a month, and he got MRSA-inflamed spinal meningitis, and we almost lost him during that. happiest baby, Abraham, you have ever, ever come across. I mean, grins from ear to ear, reaches for your face. When he sits with his mommy or his siblings, and, of course, now he's like that with my son, Michael, and my daughter-in-law, Valerie, and I'm grateful that he's like that with me. He'll be sitting there on your lap, and all of a sudden he'll just turn around and wrap himself around you and kiss you on the face, on the forehead. His love and his acceptance of everything that's happened to him is kind of like, you know, you're not even a year old and you can deal with all this, and he is. So I see a tremendous bonding with this child that, quite honestly, I didn't witness with the other three. I don't know whether it's because he initiates it or because of all the trauma that he's already been through. But you realize how important it is to have that one-on-one time with a child, with a baby. I'm going to get on the website again. I did look at the website. I looked at some of the other. Are you a rabbi, Abraham?
Well, they call me Rabbi Frank. I give a lot of lectures.
Mm-hmm.
But officially, I'm not a rabbi.
Okay. Because I don't know. I hear in your voice. I don't want to say what's the word I want to use. I hear an understanding of the communication of the relationship between children and adults that you don't always hear in everybody. You see. That's one of the things Shelley and I love about Izzy. He seems to put it on a level that is more understandable, you know, like, you know, when he says, you know, you're being bullied. I was at one of his seminars, and a counselor at a camp stood up, and he said, you know, this is all well and good, but how do you teach, you know, a six-year-old to be so diplomatic and to say all these things? You can't tell him to do that. And Izzy said, okay, let's role play. He said, you're picking on me. I'm 6 years old, and you say something mean to me. So he says, you know, you're stupid. You smell disgusting. Stay away from me. You know, I don't like you. And Izzy goes, so? And that was his answer. And, of course, that sounds like a 6-year-old or 5-year-old's answer, right? Well, the counselor looked at him, and Izzy said, what do you feel like saying now? And he goes, nothing. I don't know what to say. And Izzy said, that's my point. That's my point. You know, so it was wonderful. And I think everybody in the room, we try to make things so, I don't know, intricate instead of simple. So if you, how often do you do the moment of silence? Is it something you do once a week? Is it something you do every morning?
Are you talking about me personally or how, in the schools?
When you initiate it in an elementary school.
Oh, they have to do it every morning.
Okay.
Because you want them to take this as a serious part of the day. Some people want to complain, well, you're wasting, you're taking the school time away, and there's better things to do. No, this is actually part of the child's education, that he prepares for school, just like in sports, the football games, they have the huddle. Even before Congress, they have a moment of silence. A person has to prepare for the day. That's part of the day, that the preparation. And a child, this is not a waste of time. A child has to be taught not to waste time, but to use all of his abilities that he was given to the utmost. Every child is a unique creature. And they have to, this is one of the things that prevents depression, all these negative psychological issues, that it gives a child a chance to build himself up, feel like the kid wrote in the letter, I feel like I'm somebody. This is what we want the child to feel like somebody. So you wouldn't have to bully somebody or insult somebody else. In fact, I was saying that after one of these assemblies, we interviewed 6 or 7 kids about how much they use the moment of silence, and it turns out they use it all day, and they take it home with them. One of the parents commented, the child says that it brings out the charisma in my child, this moment of silence.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And some of the kids,
wow,
they tell their friends about it in other schools. They like it so much. So it's not just in the morning, but this is a long-lasting minute, so to speak. And we want to emphasize that it should be at least a minute. Some schools, there are some states that have been doing it so many years, it became a rote. And I heard this from a guidance counselor in Alabama. They do it for 15 seconds. I explained to her it's very important to have it at least a minute. So that in that 60 seconds, a child can develop a lot of thoughts, and something practical will come out from a 60 seconds rather than a 15-second duration. So that's why the children look forward to this. In a lot of the letters, the kids says, "I love the moment of silence. I can't wait to go to school." It's like a signal that the school day is starting. And the letters are just amazing. I mean, we have letters now from Haiti that just came in Creole. I have to get them translated. And they're like really amazing, the letters that kids are writing. We have this program in Haiti, in Nigeria, South Africa, and it's spreading more and more. The only thing that holds me back is the time. Nothing else is holding me back. The schools are waiting for something like this, and I don't have the manpower right now, or the staff, to sit down and notify schools. I have been used as an educational consultant. I went to Buffalo and to Louisville, Kentucky, and I spent a while trying to influence schools, and it worked. You know, I was paid to go there, and we got schools to do it. I went in and out of schools. And in one school, the principal in Buffalo says, "I want you to sit down here and talk to my staff. Be here Thursday at 8 o'clock. So I was there Thursday at 8 o'clock. The whole staff was there. I made a presentation, and they all loved it, and they're doing it every day. So sometimes it is a matter of meeting someone face-to-face. Some people just do it as soon as they hear the idea and say, this is wonderful, this is great. And in some schools, you have to go meet the person, which is better to meet, but we don't have the time to get to everybody personally. So we do what we can. We do it over the phone and you know, try to implement it that way.
Well, I love obviously having it in elementary schools. But while you're talking, I'm sitting here listening and I'm thinking to myself, you know, here in Florida, there is an abundance of group homes of that have, you know, young teens, preteens, young teens, things like that have already been in trouble or that are have issues and things like that. I'm thinking to myself, you know, that would be an amazing venue because now we're talking about kids that have already developed issues. And I can't imagine if you know that it helps to just sit for a few minutes or a minute or the 15-second thing, I could barely even get into the realm of what I was supposed to be doing in 15 seconds myself. So that would never be long enough for me. But I love at least 60 seconds, especially for a young kid. But even if you made that a little bit longer as you got into the older kids with the bigger issues with a more crowded mind and more stuff to, you know, mill through, I can imagine that the benefits would be amazing there also.
I want to mention that there are schools in San Francisco and Los Angeles now who are doing meditation. They're actually doing it 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the afternoon. And they're finding some of these schools are in terrible, terrible crime-ridden neighborhoods. they're finding now that the crime has gone plummeting down and the scholastic scores are going rising up from these meditations. And you're right, we have also got emails from schools for wayward children and
mm-hmm.
outpatient psychiatric clinics and outpatient
yep.
drug clinics, and they're also
yes.
using this.
Yeah,
it's a panacea for everything.
Well,
like
I can see the benefits. I mean, I can see the benefits with yeah. people I know. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, you know, if I could get so-and-so to do this once a day, plus
oh.
that it seems to put things in order. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Sitting
yeah.
for a few minutes, if we could all remember to do that. I mean, I have lots of yoga friends, and most
oh.
of them do things like this every morning, every
mm-hmm.
evening before they lay down to get their rest. And
yeah.
they're some of the calmest friends I have and the most go-with-the-flow
oh.
friends that I have.
Yeah.
So I think there's great reason to spread this around a little bit. We have a Shelley and I have a friend who very high strung. His personality is very high strung. He grew up in the restaurant business. He came to the institute that Shelley and I worked at, and he was taking Qigong and Tai Chi and things like that.
Oh.
And he married. I performed their ceremony. And
oh.
their wedding dance was a Tai Chi routine. And I've often kidded him because he works in the kitchen at the institute is like insane,
oh.
insane.
Oh.
I mean, it's all vegan food, all raw preparation and everything, and it sounds like it's easy,
mm.
but it's not. Food combinations,
yeah.
things like that. And I have always sworn that this young man would have to be on some kind of calming down pill. If he didn't do
yeah.
these things, if he didn't get his,
right.
if he didn't take control of his mind and body every morning,
right.
he'd be a wreck. So
yeah.
he taught
yeah.
me that. He got me to understand
yeah.
the worth of that. And we have a couple other friends, too, who are, you know,
yeah.
early in the morning, we had classes for the institute where you would go and just learn how to stand with your knees bent and relaxed and get yourself into a good place. So I think it's awesome, awesome, awesome. And we will continue to pass the word on, Shelley and I, on the show on a regular basis. I'm sounding like I'm ending this. I'm not. But I want to make sure that I have time to tell you that you're welcome to call me anytime and tell me anything that's going on or talk on the show and explain this time and time again until we get enough people to understand the worth of this. Because baby steps is how we're going to make the changes, I believe. So, do you have some more questions for Abraham?
One other question.
Yeah.
How do you go about introducing this into the school system? Is there some sort of a form or instructional sheet on the website that would enable people like who are impressed by this to bring it to the schools themselves? Is this something that you do through yourself or an organization? Can you explain that process?
Yeah, surely. An excellent question and a practical question. I either call on the phone. Actually, a lot of my clientele were referred through Izzy Kalman. What happens is, so I'm getting emails from all over the country. What happens is these people, these educators, guidance counselors, psychologists, go to his lectures. He has two topics, bullying and anger management. So he goes or travels around the country, as you know, giving these lectures. And
mm-hmm.
on his website, he recommends Moment of Silence and gives my email address. So these people who are interested, who like Izzy Kalman, if he says, go check out Moment of Sound, so a lot of them do. So I get their emails, and then I follow up with them, and these are the people who are implementing the programs in their schools. That's a lot of the schools I get is from this process. Now, I also initiated on my own schools, either by calling up on the phone, explaining to the principal or the educator what this is about, and they start doing it. Or I go in person to a school, which is better. I can't make an appointment because it just doesn't follow. If I'm in a neighborhood and I happen to see a school, I'll walk right into the school and say, "Can I speak to the principal?" And I just explain that's all I do, because you can't go by appointments. I happen to be here. I'm in a neighborhood, so I just sit down with them and explain to them what this is about. I say there's a website, there's a brochure here. We've been around for years, and if they want it, they'll do it. Anybody can do this. I have all the materials on the website, and I could also send out to people, hard materials, so they can sit down with somebody and convince them. The most convincing thing is taking the letters of the children and putting them in the hand of the person you're talking to, where they're actually holding the letter and reading it. Because the words that these kids are writing are straight from the heart. It's not like us adults where, we make about 20 different account things before we sit and write a word, or is it going to offend this one? Does it mean this? Is it politically okay? These kids, they're so innocent, but whatever they write, this is what they feel. They don't hold anything back. You can see from the letters.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
when an adult reads this and sees what they're writing, they see the kids writing it. No one can make this up. So they're really affected right to the heart. There's nothing to say. You see a kid wrote it, and they really mean it. So that's probably the most effective way of convincing somebody. And then you have to be on their tail. You have to say, "Hello, I spoke to you yesterday or last week. What do you think about it? And you have to follow up." Now, I found that going from the top down is not working. In other words, I tried the first few years trying to go through in New York the politicians and the legislature. Nothing happened with that. Just about nothing at all happened. No one implemented anything. So then my wife says to me, "How can you get the legislature to pass a law if no one's doing that what you want them to do?" So I said to myself, "Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. If no one's doing it, how can you tell the convince the legislature to make it a law?" So then I reversed myself and started going from the bottom up, school by school. You see, and this is working, the school by school. But once in a while, if I have an opening, if I have a connection with someone on top, I won't spend that much time. But like this guy Lou Fiddler, the councilman in New York, he sent out a brochure. He was running to be a councilman. I sent him my material, and he jumped on it. And he made a resolution out of it. It's now in front of the City Council in New York. Not only that, we have on the website, CBS News made a video out of this, about a 10-minute video. Very nice. And they interviewed people and everything. It's on the website. It's all over CBS News. And that was
awesome.
Through...
I love that idea.
Yeah. So once in a while you try to go to the top, but the main targets are the elementary schools one by one, and also the school boards are also a problem because they're also a bureaucracy. What happens there, one person says yes, one person says no, and they come to a stalemate, and who loses out? The children lose out. That's who loses out. There's nothing about this program that can be attacked or criticized. No one can take this and, make it something evil or negative. There's nothing here. This product is like a perfect product. It's like the air. Could someone poison the air? They can't do it. The air is a pure, it's a pure product. This product is the same thing. So if mm-hmm. it's presented in a way that you believe in it and you believe that this is going to work, so this is how you present it, and anyone can do it. So what I said at the beginning of the show is we want to have leaders out there, people to go around and trying to convince schools, or even not if you can't convince a principal. You know, if you convince a principal, it's an unbelievable act. What you're doing is you're changing the lives of hundreds of kids. One school, you can't imagine what a change you're making. Any ordinary person out there listening to this program can do this. Go into a school with the brochures. I have brochures I could send out to people, and you tell them about the program, and if they do it, you're changing the whole conduct of the school. We have a letter, a testimonial from one school in Brooklyn before the moment of silence and 3 years later. It's a two-page testimonial, and I could send that out
wow.
to people. Yeah, and they're talking about the change. The whole tone of the school has changed. You see on the video, the principal talks about it, that one of the people, the teacher aide, says used to be they used to go out in the playground and vandalize and climb up everything. He says that's not happening anymore.
Remarkable about this, Abraham, is that one
yeah.
of the problems today is that kids and people in general, it's not just the younger generation, but the younger generation
yeah.
is the one that's very malleable at this point in their
yeah.
lives. People in general today are bombarded by so much outward influence and distraction.
That's part
of the problem. They never before in
yeah.
history there been so much external stimulation,
yeah.
influence,
right.
and
yeah.
something like this, although it was used thousands of years ago by the ancient Essenes, all right, and with very, very extreme benefit, okay, it's
yeah.
even more important today because we're bombarded like 24/7.
Yeah.
You drive down the street and there's billboards, you turn on the radio and there's advertisements, Erickson songs and the games and the movies and magazines and just the
yeah.
chit-chat amongst kids and peer pressure, and it's like, oh my God, it's like every time you turn around, you're being pulled left, right,
yeah.
forward, backwards, you know, and this kind of gets kids every morning back to a
right.
centered, introspective, but worldly attitude where they're kind of, they're looking at what's happening around them because they're being taught to think of things that put them in a perspective in a community, and that it's not all about them and what's in their head and their thoughts, that they're actually being stimulated
right.
to look out of themselves. And it when
yeah.
you realize that there's a world bigger than you, all right, and for a kid,
yeah.
everything is about them and their little world, okay? But when you start putting it in somebody's head to put things in a healthier perspective, to think about
yeah.
more worldly issues and be concerned about family and community and things like that, it makes people
yeah.
more well-adjusted, and it helps them to put things in a healthier perspective. So I just love this concept.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that I couldn't have said it better.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, another benefit to this, you know, unfortunately, you know, we've heard about these incidences in the schools, you know, these terrible, violent incidences. Well,
mm-hmm.
this could be used also to prevent that. In other words, this letter-writing thing, if you assume that a kid writes whatever he feels and whatever he thinks right on the paper, this could be
mm-hmm.
used as like a flag. Every month, have the kids write letters, what's in their mind, and if the school catches a kid writing, you know, they see a letter that's off, the kid's writing all kinds of, you know, crazy things, they could bring the kid in and start working on him to prevent the stress that these incidences around the country are all probably, I'm not a psychologist, but it seems like it's a buildup of stress, and no one catches it until it's too late and the kid explodes.
Amen.
So this could be used.
Amen.
The letter
yes.
writing, right, could be used to catch these issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Shelley and I have talked about that 100 times, where are the grown-ups, aren't they looking? Aren't they paying attention? Aren't they hearing? And in most cases, you're right, they're not. They're, you know, they're wrapped up, like Shelley just mentioned, all the things that a child has to deal with. An adult has all those, plus paying the bills, keeping the job, keeping the car running, doing this, doing that. I mean, you know, it's it can be very, very overwhelming to many people. Some of us are meant to be able to do it, and some of us are not capable of doing it. And it's not much different even when you're five. You know, you have some children that are so amazing and just so, I don't know, happy in their own skin that they deal with things and seem to be able to decipher what's right and wrong without an adult telling them. And then you have, you know, then you have the kid that's sitting there with this bewildered look on their face. Is somebody going to tell me, you know, whether I should do this or shouldn't do this now? And if is nobody there, that's kind of scary. Yeah. That's really kind of scary. So, but I love what you just said, and I think that that is a very, very valid point, and I think that is worth repeating. The fact that when, now, let me make sure that everybody understands. You do a moment of silence every morning. Now, do the kids write a letter every day?
No, they don't have to write every day. You want to make it like a special thing. So, you know, every...
Exactly.
I mean, they could write it once, and they can, and then maybe a few months later have another letter-writing exercise. It's up to the school and the teacher, you know, whatever they feel is good for the kids, you know.
So let's say in our scenario, we have everybody do this for a week, and on Fridays, we give the kids an extra few minutes to write something about what they contemplated all week in their moment of silence. That would work, and that would
That's
be
beautiful.
Beneficial in what you just mentioned. That would give the powers that be, in this case the teachers, an opportunity to see if something is going on. If somebody's head is in a very funky place, and if there needs to be some kind of an intervention. I love that because we agree. Shelley and I agree with you. We've talked so many times about the young man who shot his mother and then went into the school and shot all the kids in the school and then shot himself. And then they interviewed the dad, and he was like, you know, I knew he was going to kill me someday. The father said that. And I'm like, I want to, if I'd have been able to reach him, I would have choked him.
Oh, my God.
You know, that's how angry I was at the fact. So he left. He saw the issues in this young man who was born to a mother and father who should have been looking out for him. And, of course, we know in some cases that's a very far away fairy tale. Sometimes they don't have any of that. But that's the way it's supposed to be. So I love the fact that you're giving all the other powers that be an opportunity to say, you know, Shelley, I read a paper that JoJo wrote today, and I'm worried about him. And Shelley reads the paper and says, you know, Rini, you're right. I'm worried about him, too. Let's see what's going on. Let's talk to his parents. Let's do this. I think that that is an amazing, amazing tool, as well as being beneficial for the process of reflecting and having a moment of silence and doing all the things, which is awesome for everybody involved in that. It's also a great tool to maybe stop, you know, some of the horrific crimes that have been committed. How about suicide? Are you going to tell me that an 11-year-old who hangs herself in her closet doesn't work up to that? Well, that's ridiculous. Of course, of course. She didn't just wake up this morning and say, I think I'll hang myself.
Right, and it sounds overly simplistic, but one of the problems is that in a child's mind, because they're not experienced, they haven't lived long enough to know that you know, you can have something awful happen to you today and in a matter of a few days or weeks, it's okay and you've moved on past it. To a child, they don't know that time will make that all right at some point. You know, they just have to give it time to work its situation out. They're stuck in the sincerity of that moment. And in something like this, that's why I'm saying it makes them look outside of themselves and to ponder situations that are bigger than them. And when we're not stuck in our own heads and in our own trials and tribulations, and we start realizing that everybody has trials and tribulations, and it's just sort of the growth process of a human being and a human character, I really think that it could even help a child not go that far to consider suicide, that they would actually start putting their problems or their reactions to things in a healthier perspective, and it would prevent them from just spiraling down like that. Because the spiral downward comes because they're in their own heads and they can't see anything outside of themselves, and their problems then become so overly exaggerated, they see no hope.
Excellent, That's right. Yeah.
Well, I love it. And would you be up for coming on every now and then, and giving us updates and letting us know what's going on? And we, in our own small way, will start trying to initiate this as well.
We
have a great elementary school where some of my grandchildren go. Very open-minded. People and they have a website for the elementary school and put pictures of the kids when they do dances or you know whatever they're celebrating and actually they even last year they had a young child who got hurt and they did all kinds of things to raise money for the family and they posted it on their website. I'm thinking that it would be beneficial for me to see if I could talk to the principal there, and I will do that and put them in touch with your website and things like that. But in the interim, Shelley and I will talk about this frequently, and especially if it suits the show that we're doing in the day, we can so that we can link it in. But you are welcome to call me, email me, say, Rini, I need to be on the show. This is going on, and we will we will set you up with an opportunity, and let you share with us the things that you're learning while you're on this journey. I'm very glad that Izzy knew to have you call me, and he's a great guy. Izzy is a great guy, and we will always be grateful that I found Izzy online and called him one day and left a message, and he called me right back. He was on our show for several months, once a week. It was great. And he taught us a lot, didn't he, Shel? He really, really taught us a lot.
He really,
and
it's so consistent with everything else I learned. But the way he presented it, the way he talks, such common sense, it just was absolutely brilliant to me. I love his writings and I love his teachings. It's so consistent with everything else, but he puts it in a new and fresh way that was so complementary to everything else I had already learned. So it was wonderful.
That's right. I find the same thing.
He's really great. Well, I want to say that we're just about out of time. And again, open the door to you whenever you find time or have an opportunity or have something else that you want to share with us, or even if we just want to do another show about a moment of silence and explain it again. I'm for that 100%. And I want to thank you for joining us today, and this is really, really a great idea. It's I think it will change some lives, Abraham. I really believe that.
Well, it's up to each one of us. Like I said, each one of us can go in and present this, and we're the ones who could change the world. It's up to us, and each one of us, the people listening, could be a hero overnight. I call them now representatives. I said, you want to be a hero? I just want to, it just mentioned Deborah Hobbs of Arkansas, the representative. She's running for governor. So she single-handedly pushed through legislation for moment of silence. They now have it mandated in Arkansas. They do it every morning because it is one woman. And anyone out there, you and Sally, your friend's name is Sally, am I correct?
Shelly.
Hello?
Shelly,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's all right.
You, Shelly, anybody can be a hero overnight. Today there's a big emphasis on being a big hero. Well, here's your chance. You know what I mean?
I love that.
It's an amazing opportunity. And you can hit any state, Florida, you can call up Georgia, Alabama, wherever you want to call, you can call. And but in any case, it's thank you very, very much for this opportunity, for spreading goodness and kindness. And I hope to be on the show in the future to share my experiences and whatever else I can do to implement this. I'm ready. And people can write to me at the email is afsilence@gmail.com. afsilence, F like in Frank, afsilence@gmail.com. And the website that was mentioned again is momentofsilence.info. And can I give my phone number?
If you want to.
Yeah, but please.
Okay.
My number is 718-419-4817. I'll repeat
Very
that.
Good.
It's
okay.
718-419-4817. And thank you very much for helping to disseminate this wonderful program.
Yes, it's been our pleasure.
Yeah.
It's been our pleasure.
Thank you very much.
And it's been a pleasure to meet you as well. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. All the best.
Thanks so much, Abraham. Wonderful meeting you. Show and
you,
have
Shelley.
A wonderful weekend, everyone. Speak to you on Monday.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, everybody. Go out there and have a great, great weekend. God bless. We'll be back Monday morning. Bye-bye.